Power 94 WJTT is the homie Big Tula, and you have entered the chat. Every Saturday morning, we focus on local players, local coaches, local programs, and a local perspective on hip-hop and sports. You have entered the chat, and today we have Chattanooga's own Gabriel McDuffie. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. I can't complain. Just got back from Egypt. I'm recovering right now, but besides that, everything's great, man. How are you doing?
Well, let's get there. Let's introduce everybody to you and explain who you are and everything. You are from Chattanooga, and you went to Red Bank, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right, and then, so one of the things that you want to do as a very young kid was wrestle, and you ended up going on to wrestle at Red Bank. So tell us about your Red Bank experience with wrestling. How'd that go?
Well, my first year, I started off in eighth grade. I wasn't the best wrestler in the county or the state. I ended up having a record of a 1-12 record, but I didn't give up or anything. I met some of the best coaches named Shane Turner and Benjamin Reichel. They got me right. My freshman year, I was ended up going 12-12. Then my sophomore year, things really made a good come around. I ended up becoming a state champion after 3 years of doing this sport. Then I ended up going to college, ranked number one in the nation at Lebec Community College my sophomore year. Then I went out to Ottawa and became a top 20 wrestler in the country.
So you started here in Chattanooga, again, you said at Red Bank, and you worked your way up to being a state champion. So your senior year, you were a champion. That earned you a chance to go wrestle at the next level, and you went to Lebec. Now, where's that at? Tell everybody.
Lebec Community College, it's in Parsons, Kansas. It's a small community college, but, you know, they make miracles happen.
While you were there, you were able to, you know, be ranked in the nation, and then you were able to turn that into another opportunity, and that was at the University of Ottawa. So tell us about that. Where's that at?
It's in Ottawa, Kansas. It's 45 minutes from Kansas City, Missouri, 25 minutes from Kansas University.
Okay. And while you were there, you were, like you said, you were able to get ranked and everything, and that you turned this passion you have for this sport into a degree, and not only just one degree, but now you have 2 degrees. Can you tell us about your undergrad and then what you did to get your master's?
So I got my undergrad in sports studies and concentration in coaching. Then I took a little gap year and became a paraeducator for Gardner Edgerton High School. Then I thought to myself, maybe I could do more with this. So I came back to school, started wrestling again. Then I got my master's in athletic administration.
And since then, you didn't just stop there with wrestling. After college, you gave some consideration and you decided that you wanted to try to do more. So not only has wrestling, your passion for this, has brought you to college and got you a degree and then a master's, but it's also taking you around the world. So far, you've been to Kenya. You also had some matches in London, Croatia, and Egypt now, right?
Correct, yes.
All right, so let's start with Kenya. Tell us about your first experience going out of the country for wrestling and what you actually did and how that went.
Well, to be quite honest, I was on the verge of retirement for good, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. I was going to hang all this wrestling stuff up, but I went to Kenya and I saw they had a little wrestler program out there, and you know, they welcomed me with such joy and atmosphere, and I loved it ever since. It was actually a real cool experience, and you know, I took into consideration not to retire and you know, start wrestling not just only for the kids and all of East Africa. I started wrestling for myself and my community and for my country where my ancestors were born.
Right. And so while you were out there, what exactly did you do? I'm familiar with it, but let everybody know exactly what you did while you were in Kenya.
So basically, I was just going through some things, but it was basically a self-discovery journey. So they had a tournament coming up called the East African Championships. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it. I was like, maybe one last go around in a different country, but I was unable to wrestle in it because I'm not considered East African.
Right.
So what they did was they let me coach it instead because I was with those guys for quite a while. And, you know, everybody I coached ended up placing at that tournament. Either got first, second, or third. And, you know, they gave me, you know, a different line of coaching again.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to coach and get back out there in the sport again.
So you were able to coach over there. I remember that you got to coach youth as well. And then you also coached some adults. And then you made good connections there. And you ended up your renewed passion for doing this and decided not to retire. And then you did another tournament. So the first tournament you've done since graduation was in London, right?
Correct, yes.
Oh, so tell us about that.
So my very first tournament, Wrestling International, was in London. In fact, I decided to wrestle for the country of Sierra Leone. So Sierra Leone is a country in West Africa where my ancestors descended from. Okay. So I decided to pay tribute to them just to wrestle for them. So I went out there, met a cool group of guys. I got a chance to wrestle. I made it to the semifinals, but I ended up having an injury to my eye, and they wouldn't let me continue to wrestle.
Okay, so that was the first experience you had outside of training when you went to Kenya, then you went to London. And then after that, you decided to do another tournament, and that was in Croatia. Tell us about that.
So this tournament was like the big league tournament. This wasn't just wrestling. This was wrestling. Where all the big wrestlers, such as Kyle Daggs, Zahid Valencia, all the well-known wrestlers decided to wrestle at this tournament. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, maybe I should give myself this opportunity and chance to wrestle in this tournament. So The first match I had was the guy that won the tournament named Parker Kitkaizen. He's a 5-time NCAA All-American and a Division I national champion. Mm-hmm. But I was able to take him down and score off of him. Right. And I'm like, okay, even if I lost to him, maybe I can keep going with this. And my second guy I wrestled from India, I ended up losing that match, but I ended up placing 8th in the tournament. It wasn't good, it wasn't bad, but it's a start.
And even, you know, having, like you said, having the takedown gave you that success and the momentum to think, okay, I still got it. If I train harder or focus more, you know that I was able to have this success against somebody that's had all the success in this sport and is a known name, like you said. So that renewed, again, continued to renew this passion that you have. And then you just recently just came back from Egypt. Tell us about that trip.
Oh, the Egypt trip, it was wonderful. I got a chance to represent not only my country, but my friends from all of East Africa. I was able to secure second place in that tournament. My first match was against Congo, and, you know, I felt a lot more confident in this tournament because not only my friends were there, you know, my coaches had my back, you know, my family had my back, and they was like, hey, you got this. No matter what happened, you still got this. And I went out there, I did my thing. I ended up getting my first UWW win, my United World Wrestling win against Congo. And after that match, I made it to the semifinals, and I was able to pin Morocco to get to the finals match. And for the people that don't understand wrestling, like, this tournament is a continental tournament.
Right.
That basically allowed me to showcase my skills in all of Africa. Mm-hmm. And I was really joyful because this award was higher than any medal that I had in my whole entire wrestling career. So it meant something to me. Win, lose, right, or draw, even if I got first or second, I'm still going to be happy at the end of the day because I was able to go out there and compete with the world's best in all of Africa.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you told me that your passion and the reason why you have the degrees and the focuses in sports administration things is because your ultimate goal is to impact your community and people all over the world into getting into wrestling and seeing the opportunities that it offers, because it offered you a lot of opportunities. So you want that same for other people. So you created a nonprofit. Tell us about that.
So my nonprofit is called Wrestling for Hope OE. My OE is basically my business I'm going to create in the future called Outreach Engagement. Mm-hmm. So Wrestling for Hope, it basically helps kids in Africa get wrestling gear for free. Okay. Right. I don't charge. I don't ask for money. I basically ask for people like, hey, if you have any wrestling gear that you guys don't want, please let me have it, because there's some kids in Africa that needs it, because wrestling gear is such an essential to the sport to help these kids succeed.
And that's one of the things you noticed when you first went to Kenya, is that they had a passion for it and they enjoyed it, but they didn't have any of the equipment. And you said they were, you know, even the like, one of the places that you trained them at was like an abandoned prison. You know, the kids all doing everything barefoot, not having any shoes or not having the singlets, which is, if those aren't familiar, that's the actual uniform that you wear. Can you tell us what you were able to do so far? Because you did get back to some of those kids and bring things. So tell us how that happened.
So this project was a 2-year project. I was able to secure 200 plus singlets for those kids, mm-hmm, and 80 pairs of wrestling shoes for the kids. So when I went back to Kenya, I had two choices, and I'm not a financially person. You know, I work a regular 9-to-5 like everybody else. So it's actually difficult for me to raise that. So what I did was I had to make a hard choice between picking the shoes or the singlets. So I took the singlets instead because I could carry a lot more.
When you got there, that, you know, the weight in your bags and how many bags you're allowed to carry, but then also, right, they want to tax you for bringing things in, even though you're donating to people. So that was that's why you had to make that financial decision and what was more important, because you couldn't, correct, afford with the money that you had, plus you were going to stay there for a while. How long did you stay the first time you were in Kenya?
I stayed in Kenya, like, my very first time I went to Kenya.
Yeah.
I stayed there for about a good two months and some change.
And so I was wondering about understand. Yeah. He didn't just go for like a week. I mean, he went there, actually lived amongst the people, was riding the little motorcycles through the streets, was eating the street food with everybody. So he's, when he goes to these cities, he actually embraces it and becomes like part of the culture and really, really gets to experience it. And that's why he says when he got to go to that Egypt one, that's why it felt really like being at home, because a lot of those people that you had worked with those previous two times going to Kenya, and then some of those people that I think you actually gave some equipment to were actually there, right?
Right. I gave the wrestling shoes to the Kenya team because when I heard it was coming, I was like, you know what? I might as well meet them halfway. Boom.
And then you also made a name for yourself, because when you got to Egypt, you said that there was people walking up to you asking you who you were, and they were like, oh yes, my coach said that you could help train me and get me ready.
Basically, when I was going there to cut some weight, I was going to wrestle with one of the Cameroon wrestlers, their 92 pounder named Cedric. Mm-hmm. As I was getting my shoes on, this young woman from Uganda walked up to me and said, hey, are you Gabriel McDuffie? I'm like, yes. My MMA coach told me to come find you. His name is Mr. Joseph. He's actually in China right now, competing in a fight right now. as we speak. When she told me his name, I was like, oh, yes, I know him. And, you know, I ended up helping that wrestler get ready for the tournament and help that wrestler make their weight, too, on top of
I got excited. I got us off topic. So back to Wrestling for Hope. Your goal with that is to get equipment and resources for youth all across the world, especially in Africa, because that's where, you know, they welcome you and they look forward to seeing you. And you've made a lot of friends and connections there. So that's something that you're looking forward to doing with Wrestling for Hope. So tell people where they can find Wrestling for Hope, how they can follow that, and how they can help you help them.
Basically, my Wrestling for Hope stuff is on Instagram. It's wrestling_for_hope, O-E at Instagram. Or you can follow us on Facebook at Wrestling for Hope. You'll be able to find it. You'll be able to see my face on there. You'll be able to see what I do for them.
And you also get to see the people that he helps and how they use it. You'll see the conditions that they're wrestling in, and you can tell they actually have a passion. As soon as you brought that, just the joy that they had, and then like you even brought some toys and the kids are playing with them. So just to get to see all that, and that you're taking this time and your money trying to do all this to help them. And then, you know, again, it's renewed your passion for this sport. And you know that it can take you everywhere, because so far wrestling took you to college, got you 2 degrees. It's taking you to Kenya, London, Croatia, Egypt. And so it's just amazing. And we're very proud of you. So I just want you again to tell everybody where they can go and how they can help support you and what you do.
If you guys would like to donate anything like wrestling shoes or wrestling singles or any type of wrestling gear, please reach out to me.
Does it have to be brand new?
No, it doesn't have to be brand new, but it has to be in some type of modern conditions.
In condition enough to be used again.
Right. Correct. Yes.
Right. All right. And so if they want to do that, they can go to Wrestling for Hope, and that's wrestling_hope_OE. I also have the link here on the story for everybody to click on and make it real simple for you to follow it.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll do that. All right. So, hey, we appreciate you for taking the time. We're proud of you. I mean, that's a big thing to leave here and, you know, go to represent Chattanooga at the high school level and win the state championship at Red Bank, to go on to be the number one ranked in JUCO, then to go on and, you know, get a scholarship to go to another college where you also ranked, and then to get a master's, and then to go to all these different countries to represent not only Chattanooga, the U.S., but also Sierra Leone. Very proud of you, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Power 94, for having me. I do appreciate it. I've been listening to you guys since I was a kid. This is such an honor just to be on the show.
All right, man. Appreciate you.